Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tailford, joined by Ewan Patterson.
Hello.
And Rachel Shackleton.
Hello.
Hello. Another Game Awards are on Thursday night / Friday morning. They're at 1 a.m. And there's all sorts of things being geared up to be released then. It seems that the Game Awards have pretty much become the new E3 because of the amount of different people that are dropping out of the awards and the amount of things that are being lined up for these instead.
With more or less cringe.
I'm assuming because Mr. Joseph Farris is there that it'll be more cringe.
Yeah.
But I also love that man, but we'll get to him later.
Cool.
I assume that the general amount of mandated cringe will also carry across.
Cool.
So, one of the first things that came out was a whole smattering of release dates for various games. The three that got touted by Brazilian side Combo Infinito
were... That's a great name for a website.
I know. Were Death Stranding, Ghost of Tsushima, and Dreams.
Mm.
Now, they don't have specifics. They just said that they're sure that the release dates for those games will come out. What do you guys think of those three? Are you looking forward to them?
I think, well, considering Ghost of Tsushima in particular was only just announced at this year's E3, that's very good getting a release date for it already. I'm cool with that.
It would be a hell of a turnaround considering that, like, I mean, the thing that they showed off was like this one opening mission, or it showed this one assassination, like lots of stealth game thing. It looked gorgeous. So it seems like it's quite far along in development, unless that was a particular vertical slice and they haven't got a whole lot.
Because we had that first announcement trailer, was that the Sony Paris thing? And then they showed the demo off this year, so.
Because they had that CG thing last year.
But it looks really, really
When it was Shadows Die Twice.
No.
Oh, no, that's Sekiro.
They did show off like a small teaser of like the thing beforehand. But, you know, I'm really fascinated by that game. I think it, because that's been doing my Sucker Punch. That's really cool. It's such a new thing for that studio, and it has me really excited because history and swords and a bit of the wing.
It's nigh on impossible to refer to any game under the sun and not mention Dark Souls in some form. But it does seem like
Scott
it's
Tailford.
A little bit. It's not me.
It's actually
treading
much
on Dark Souls
firing.
Well, actually, I think you'll find it's probably much more akin to Neo.
Which in itself is also very much like the Souls. So it kind of comes around. So that's one thing. Also, Jeff Keighley pointed out that he has more than 10 brand new games to show off across the Game Awards.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It is quite a lot.
For the Game Awards, that's cool.
That's the thing. I mean, I've seen a lot of like sort of industry like commentary saying that this is the new way that things like E3 can be done because you have the hook of what's going to win the awards, plus you do all the new stuff alongside it. So I quite like that combination of elements. Plus, you said that there'll be meaningful updates to existing properties, which is kind of how you manage to, you know, you tick all the boxes. There's going to be a whole bunch of new IP and a whole bunch of stuff that will assume to get new trailers or whatever. One thing that isn't going to be there is Rocksteady's Superman,
apparently
never existed.
Get me started.
So you was in the middle of writing up this whole article and all these different rumors and leaks and different bits and bobs that have been out in on forums and different things that have been teased by the developers themselves. They put out a big Superman cake and they were like, hey, look, we're sending this Superman cake around.
There was a cake.
They've sent a big Superman cake to NetherRealm to congratulate the one in Justice.
And it was like, why are you doing Superman
honestly,
if you're not doing
Scott,
Superman?
I'm getting so vexed by this Arkhamverse bollocks because like we've had Warner Brothers Montreal have like three different titles get canned, it sounds like. We still don't know what they're doing other than the fact that the guy who helmed Splinter Cell Blacklist is still their main creative director, which is really cool. And that gets me really excited because these Arkham games really need to work on their stealth mechanics, whatever. I'm just, It's a case of a Superman game would have been great.
Yes.
The fact that that's not happening doesn't necessarily irk me. It's the fact that we're getting nothing from them.
Well,
information would be nice.
Yes, because for the something. Last... I mean, Arkham Knight was 2015, and since then, Rocksteady have routinely put out statements just saying what they're not doing.
Yeah.
They just keep saying, we're not going to be at this award show, we're not going to be at this other trade show, we're just not being anywhere. But I did pick up on some stuff. Jason Schreier from Kotaku wrote up that he's basically been in touch with Rocksteady, and he was one of the people who helped confirm that it's not Superman. Yes. I mean, Rocksteady did tweet that out too. Mm-hmm. But Schreier said that the next game from Rocksteady is superhero focused, but it seems to be a games as a service type
thing. It's so weird because I remember that he mentioned the Justice League rumor a while ago on Kinda Funny's, it was a thing with Greg Miller, and he mentioned that the last thing he heard of Warner Brothers Montreal was that they were working on a Justice League game.
Yes.
And my major worry here, and this is obviously all speculation on my behalf, is that we're going to see a similar thing to how Arkham Knight developed, where Montreal were kind of tacked onto the development of that game to help with DLC on Matter of Family. Are we going to potentially see Rocksteady and Montreal collaborating on this Justice League title, which is then this weird, like, periodic Destiny-based mission structure thing where you team up with your mates to be different leaguers and do different... that's not what I'm here for. Even if I think Arkham Knight's story was ass, I still want Rocksteady to do a narrative-driven DC game, and this doesn't necessarily sound like that's going to be that.
In that pool of leaks and stuff, there was a Suicide Squad game at one point that Warner Brothers Montreal apparently just never came to. Obviously, Suicide Squad, the movie, bombed through the ground and to a different planet. So that was a thing that was apparently in progress at one point, and that got canned. The only thing that I'll say in regards to Rocksteady potentially doing their own thing is that everyone hated it when BioWare first said they were ditching Knights of the Old Republic to do their own thing, and that turned out to be Mass Effect. So, there's precedent for such things.
But Rocksteady are owned by Warner Brothers, who own DC, and I think it would be very bad business sense for Warner Brothers to ever let Rocksteady and go, yeah, you can do your own thing, we'll just let our little pile of DC superheroes over here languish on the floor. Because let's not forget, you know, Marvel are really coming at them thick and fast with their Marvel games. Now we had Spider-Man, we're getting the Avengers Project, which we'll come to later, I'm sure. And then sequels and prequels and spin-offs galore. Warner Brothers are threatening to, like, lose the momentum they built up between all these Arkham games.
Yeah.
And Marvel are, like, taking it very seriously. And I think we could potentially see Marvel leapfrog Warner Brothers with this new kind of partnership with Square.
What do you reckon about the future of DC and all those things?
I mean, if you think about Arkham Knight, I'm pretty sure it was 2015.
Yes. It
was. Yeah. So I'd be very surprised if DC, well, Warner Brothers, weren't planning on doing some kind of leapfrog over Spider-Man.
It's been long enough. Yeah, that's the thing. And it's like Spider-Man itself has the same combat engine, kind of, that's been built on from Batman. I kind of wonder with the state that Warner Brothers have been in, they've been very back and forth with different, like, press announcements. No, we're canning this and we're severing this other thing. We're going forward with whatever. Maybe it's an absolute nightmare over at Rocksteady. And the nearest thing they can do is say, sorry, we haven't got anything to announce, because everything that's been in progress has been shifted around.
Yeah, we had the Suicide Squad game get cancelled, which was pretty much a sequel to Arkham Origins, because the end of Arkham Origins, they set up Amanda Waller recruiting Deathstroke, and apparently it would have focused on Deathstroke. You would have had other co-op elements as well. After that, there was the Damian Wayne Batman of the Future style game, which got canned, and then the last thing we heard was the Justice League stuff.
Yeah.
So it sounds like absolute pure pandemonium at Warner Brothers.
Have you been writing about this? You know a lot about these things.
Yes, it almost sounds like I had an article plan, and then the news cycle turned off its life support over the weekend or something. Maybe it was that.
Maybe it was. We've still got all sorts of rumours and leaks written up across there the rest of this year, because it all seemed to be gearing up for a particular announcement, which is now not coming. But I will tell you something that is coming: a new Aliens game called Alien Blackout. Now this thing is a dead cert. It was tweeted out by Jeff Keighley. He said worlds will change. Tweeted out this big picture saying worlds will change, and the font is the Weyland-Yutani font, which is the company from Alien or Alien and Predator, AVP Universe.
Yeah.
And also it was 20th Century Fox trademarked the name Alien Blackout, and the developers Cold Iron were bought by Fox Next to work on an Alien game.
Do we know what they've done before?
All of this coming together. No, I don't. I didn't actually get a chance to look up Cold Iron's history, but I haven't heard of
that. That's interesting, because I thought Isolation was pretty well received. I still haven't gotten around to it. The last Aliens game I played would have been the 2010 Rebellion AVP one, which I thought was really, really cool.
You can sever a lot of heads in that game.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited for this. I think licensed games have so much potential, and none more so exemplify mm-hmm. that than the Alien stuff. So
I mean, Isolation. Yeah. Like you played a lot of Isolation.
I didn't even get to the bit when the alien actually appeared. Right. I played for a couple hours. It's a bit of a slog in the beginning. I would say.
It's very
But I had a wee go at the survival mode, and it's brilliant. I'm trying to remember when it came out. I want to say it was 2014.
2014, I think. Yeah.
I mean, look at that. I mean, if you look at things like, because I watch a lot of Twitch TV, it's still massively popular.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because it's like the general vibe of that game is so, like, it's incredibly atmospheric and incredibly intense. Yeah. But it was made by Creative Assembly, who were, like, formerly known as doing, like, top-down strategy stuff, and it was, like, a weird pivot for them to do Alien Isolation.
Crikey, yeah.
And obviously they're not on board, apparently. It's this Cold Iron crew, which assumedly means it'll be more of, like, an action-focused thing. I'm just assuming, because I think they'll want that kind of
That is
kind
good.
Of game.
Yeah, the fact they managed to... The fact that Aliens Colonial Marines managed to be as goosed up as it was made no sense, because it's such an easy premise. You know, you're a bunch of mates, you're Marines, you know, you're doing all the cliché, like, bandana-wearing, like, kind of... flamethrowing, heartbeat scanning, suspense
but with
stuff.
Creatures you want to kill.
Like, yeah, exactly. And like that shouldn't be a difficult premise to mess up. So fingers crossed, this one's actually good.
Yeah. Next up is Mortal Kombat 11. Now, we've covered this a few times before, but it's worth mentioning because it seems like it'll be getting an announcement or some sort of trailer or something at the Game Awards. You can go check out our news write-up on this already on the website. There's a separate video already on the YouTube channel. But for the sake of recapping, there's been more information leaked on 4chan because initially the write-up that we put out was from a voice actor who was very perturbed about the fact
chagrined
that he was very chagrined. He was very perplexed. He was very annoyed at some things that he'd done, and he was fired from the project. He took to Twitter and he announced that he was like, well, you know, they're not going to get to use my voiceover work. Confirmed that he'd been working as Kung Lao and Reptile. But in terms of the 4chan leak, if this is true, apparently the story mode will revolve around three new characters, or three characters in general. There'll also be an adventure mode similar to Mortal Kombat Shaolin Monks, which was their old God of War style isometric punchy kicky thing, which genuinely was amazing, and I don't think that many people played it.
Never heard of it.
I'm going to say that I feel like that is exactly what Mortal Kombat needs.
It is!
Because, I mean, the differences between 9 and 10 weren't humongous, were they?
No.
So that sounds good to me.
Yeah. Well, Shaolin Monks was like a whole, like it was like a co-op thing. And like I said, it's kind of isometric, like hack and slashy combat. Kind of like a Diablo type engine.
Kind of like X-Men Legends or all that.
Yeah, totally. And it was great. And like you had a lot of different things in there where you could do like dual fatalities. You can kick dudes into walls and spikes and everything. Sort of like dynamic fatalities. It was brilliant. The final part of this leak just says that that mode, the adventure mode, will allow you to customize your characters and weapons, which is the
Like the Injustice gear system, potentially.
That's what I was going to say. Because
more like the what was the one that just came out recently? The Six. It was something Six, and you can make your character in it. Fighting. I'm not a big fighting games person.
Well, either way, Warner Brothers seem to put in a little loot system into everything that they do, and I'd imagine they would have this
Soul
in
Calibur.
As well.
Of course. Sorry.
No, that makes total sense, because that thing's character customization was incredibly in-depth, and you can make everybody in it, including Jules. He's very hard to make, because he has a very specific bald beard combo. But yeah, so it seems that the next Mortal Kombat will have more to it than just the base staples, which is kind of what dragged 10 down a little bit. To throw this in, Konami renewed the trademark on Metal Gear and Metal Gear Solid at the end of October, October 25th.
The new pachinko machine.
Now, that's the thing that scuppers that, because that's what a lot of people thought, is that it's renewed for European regions, and we don't give a flying snake about pachinko machines whatsoever.
See what you did there.
It can't be. I mean, flying snake would be the name of an online Metal Gear character anyway, but we don't care about pachinko machines, so assumedly this has been renewed for some reason other than terrible gambling.
A
mobile game.
That wouldn't surprise me.
My only other thought would be, because if you look at the cutscenes, they have a snake. They have a really like in-depth snake eater machine. And like they remastered all the cutscenes. They look stunning.
Yep.
I know we had the HD collection like a few years ago, but if Konami were really just kind of like,
I mean, the thing is,
remake the snake eater, just push it out there.
It's weird, right? Because like obviously Kojima left, and that was a very publicized thing, and Konami did Metal Gear Survive, which is one of the worst games of the year. But in terms of the Metal Gear IP, David Hayter reprised the role of Snake in Bomberman. He was a random guest character.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
And he did new lines as Snake in that. Because obviously the headline was, David Hayter returns as Snake in Bomberman. And so, like, that was a thing. But they clearly know that the Metal Gear IP is bankable. Mm-hmm. And so, like, the easiest money for them to make is to give it to some third-party studio like Toys for Bob, or like, what do you call the dudes who did Crash? You know, the Crash Bandicoot remake, the Spyro remake, and do that treatment, but for Metal Gear. And then they get to cash in on the IP again, but it's with a whole new game.
We've seen with Resident Evil as well recently, we're getting all the remakes of that. Could you see Metal Gear potentially working in a similar
I hope so. Maybe. I mean, Final Fantasy VII is more like a long-term thing. Yeah. I mean, whereabouts are you on all these remakes?
I mean, that's actually really good news for me because I've been sort of getting schooled recently on how it's a bit... It's shocking I've never played Metal Gear Solid.
It is. I'm shocked daily by this.
They're a bit dated in certain aspects.
No, they're not. They're perfect, especially the one on the PS1. Still perfectly revisitable. Yeah.
How are they going to translate the whole, like, Psycho Mantis stuff?
Or the close-up, identify the woman by staring at her bum for
I look forward to it.
Looking
at bum.
There's that lady in Snake Eater who can only fight if she unzips her jacket all the way down to her navel. So there you go.
Sounds very 2008.
Yeah, she's a seductress. That's Kojima being acknowledging 60s spy tropes.
Yeah.
Getting in there with the boobs and all that. Not a fan of the boobs, mate. There's a lot of boobs in there.
Let's move on.
You want some boobs? Anyway, speaking of non-boobs, next news is Nintendo saying that they have something special planned, which could
definitely
be boobs.
No boobs.
No, I don't think so. I think Nintendo are notoriously
I mean,
very...
we had Mario's nipple the other year.
To be honest, they've been getting more saucy in the recent years, so we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, so this is something that Reggie Fils-Aimé noted, that Nintendo will have something special planned for the Game Awards. And it came from him appearing on Boundary Break, which is a YouTube web series, competing with Jeff Keighley playing Mario Tennis. And he joked and he said, like, oh, you've got all these things planned for the Game Awards. Saying this to Jeff Keighley, we've got Smash Brothers the day after. Do you think we're going to steal all your thunder? And they sort of had a bit of a laugh about it. And then he was like, no, but seriously, we're going to have something special planned for your rewards as well. So that brings me on to the remaining IP that haven't landed on the Switch yet, which is where you can come in, because I think...
You're going
to
say Star Fox.
I'm not going to say Starbucks because he's used in Starlink. I'm going to say Animal Crossing.
That's been announced. I was going to guess it would be some kind of Animal Crossing.
There's been a trailer, though, so we could get some sort of footage. Or it'll be Metroid Prime 4. I can't think
what...
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, that was first shown, I think, last year? Maybe the year before?
I forgot they even showed that off. They seem to announce stuff and then be like, oh yeah, we're bringing it back.
I feel like that is a very good shout because Animal Crossing, that's them just announced that it's being worked on and that. But Metroid, they announced last year. Will we see a trailer? That would be really good.
I mean, assumedly, it's far along in development where they have enough to show off at this point because initially it was just a logo. So, and they need something to gear up for the 2019 slate because they don't have anything, as far as I know, in terms of like, you know...
Apart from Animal Crossing, yeah.
I guess Animal Crossing, and then in terms of like other like system-selling franchises. Like, I don't think... I mean, maybe people will buy Switches for Animal Crossing, but something as big as a Metroid would be pretty... seismic. Also, I'm going to throw these other things in here. Eiji Onuma once mentioned that inside the Breath of the Wild Masterworks art book, that another Zelda was already in production. So, if
I couldn't handle that. Don't do that, Nintendo. I'll die.
That's one half of a potential Zelda thing because, yeah, the next main Zelda is apparently already in production. And so they could do the logo treatment and say that another Zelda's coming out. I mean, it's already been 2 years, so why not? And the other one was a remake of Link's Awakening using the Link Between Worlds engine. So that's apparently been a thing that Grezzo, the developers of the remakes of Ocarina and Majora's Mask, have apparently been working on a remake of Link's Awakening.
I'm going to need to stay up
just
and watch
this. Just savor that moment then, just pure happiness.
If they want to do something special, it's not another blooming NES Joy-Con. So I'm kind of hoping for something else.
I'm very easily hype. I'm just happy and excited about everything.
Even if you could pick one, which would get you to buy a Switch, mate?
Oh.
Go on.
I mean, if I'm really... if Pokemon hasn't done it, I don't know what will. I'm just like, I think
The Pokemon RPG that they said when they announced Let's Go, they said, yes. Oh, don't worry, there'll be a traditional one coming.
This is why on the podcast I trigger everyone else.
That is a very, very good point from the two of you because, yes, there's another full Pokemon Switch game coming that isn't Pokemon Let's Go. It's whatever the next evolution of that franchise is.
Probably, if it's any bit as banter as the anime... then I'll get a Pokemon RPG.
There's sort of like, I mean, there's also, I mean, it's only rumors at this point, but the assumption is that they'll do like a big, you know, Bethesda open world
get
style.
Get me in as a new member of Team Rocket and let me live extra Poké life.
If you
I'll
can
be
pick
there for it.
Your allegiance at the beginning, you could start out as a member of Team Rocket.
But still keep it as the classic format as well.
If they let you sing, if they do something where you can sing the Team Rocket anthem with your friends before going into battle, then yes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, maybe we don't even need
Pokemon
it.
MMO.
I'd probably take it. And plus, I mean, bringing it back down to things that have like sort of been, you know, put out there. Pokemon Let's Go did show that, like, you know, now they want us to see the Pokemon that we're catching. They sort of changed the main dynamics and the catching mechanics and things like that. So it's not like it's without precedent to shake up the formula quite a lot. Speaking of things that are just plain awesome, Joseph Fares is coming back. Your friend and mine, the most legendary man in the industry.
He hates the Oscars.
He does.
F the Oscars, that Matt Man said. I mean, he was a very drunk man. I'm curious how drunk he's going to be this year.
You know what I want them to do? I want them to bring on the Yanni guy and then bring him and then let them fight and see who wins.
That's like Gaming Zone Celebrity Deathmatch.
I have this little Yanni thing. He's like, hey, miss the Oscars.
He just throws in the middle fingers and says, like, nah, I'm the best game ever. That's what it is.
I don't know. I feel like he set a very high bar of standard for Bantz last year. It'd be hard to break.
It was very unintentional. Bantz. It was one of those times when a drunken rant went in his favour. So
there will
either,
be an expectation now.
Yeah, either he steers right into that and he's completely gone, or he just, I don't even know, stays away from it and is very professional. But I'm mentioning Joseph Fares because he does have another game in production, and his game that came out this year, A New Way Out, is up for Best Game Direction, which I totally think it should win.
Good show,
game is just, it's local co-op the whole way through, but the way that he directs scenes is always dual perspectives. There's a great scene in it in the hospital that if you guys haven't played through A Way Out, I keep wanting to call it A New Way Out.
Have you played it yet?
No.
Oh, dude.
No one wanted to play with me. I'm just there, just waiting for someone to play with me.
Oh, we'll play it with you, mate.
I would happily play it again and make some sort of different
Josh Brown. Josh Brown's The Office almost spoiling for me on two occasions.
You've avoided spoilers so far, so yeah, we'll
like,
see.
Good for you, not having that spoiled for you. It's got a very good ending.
It's the best. It's so good. If you guys haven't played A Way Out, feel free to check it out. But anyway, yes, I mentioned
play with you.
Yeah. I need a way out of this podcast so I can play
a new way.
A way out.
But I mentioned Mr. Fares because immediately after A Way Out came out, and he was like, I'm so glad this project's finally, you know, came true and whatever, he tweeted out that he's already been working on his next game. Now, it was just a doodle on a napkin, but he's got something else in the works. So,
it's called another way out.
It's called a new way out. Then maybe he'll, you know, reuse the fact that he is a known quantity at the Game Awards, and yes. he can be like, by the way, all you guys, F this, F that, here's my new thing.
What niche, but like what dead video game element do you want him to bring back? Because Couch Co-op, we thought was dead as hell. Mm-hmm. So if you could bring back any gimmicky, like,
oh God,
I mean, it's not gimmicky because we all love Couch Co-op. If you could bring back any beloved video game thing for him to incorporate into his next thing, what would it be?
Oh God, I don't know. I'd like him to do, because the way he has a Kojima-esque like bent to him, the way that he approached Couch Co-op was he sort of like fundamentally makes it part of the story. Yes. I love that. So I kind of think like if you're going to bring something back from the old school, there's not that much that's fundamentally gone away. Light guns would be brilliant.
I mean, we had the, because I thought like the, you know, the Wii Zapper light guns kind of thing, but you had the one on the PlayStation VR, which did very well.
Yeah.
So it would be bringing it back, but it would actually have a market.
I mean, in Super Hot VR, there's a bit, the whole story of Super Hot is that you're slowly giving yourself over to this program that is so addictive, and you know, it makes you want to give up your humanity to just experience the game more. And in the VR version, you shoot yourself in the face using the motion controls because you're sacrificing your human body.
Edgy as hell, man.
And so I think if he did something like that, where you've got to use the light gun on yourself to do something in the game, then maybe it'd be really problematic, but it'd be something new.
I mean, we'll see what he has to say.
Yes, when you mentioned old school things that have gone away, I started thinking of like worthwhile business practices and the lack of microtransactions and buying a full product at retail. And
next time you spill tea, that's scolding. You better warn me.
So I guess we'll see. Maybe he can make a full product, which he has done earlier this year. So we can end on one of the biggest announcements that is also a very wholesome announcement, which is that the Russo brothers, directorial combo from the movie world, are coming across to the Game was to present an award. Now, the assumption is that they have something else to announce as well, because why would they take time out of their very busy schedule to come to the Game Awards if not for something special? So, this also comes in the week when Avengers 4 is getting a trailer on Wednesday morning. Captain Marvel should be out like tonight or whenever by the time you listen to this. And the assumption is that they're going to be showing off the Square Enix Avengers project. So, which has been, I mean, that was first shown, as far as I had a quick Google, January 2017 was when the Marvel channel uploaded their official teaser of it. So, we've been waiting for a while. We covered a few rumors and leaks on the site and on the channel as to how this is kind of like a Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Yeah, that was the word at first, wasn't it?
So it's kind of like a top-down isometric type thing, but the storyline is like, it's not based on the movies.
We still don't know. It definitely looks as though it's going to be a comic book-based thing, whether or not we know it's connected to Insomniac's gaming universe, we don't know, because obviously Brian Intihar, the creative director, he kind of dodged the question on that. As far as story details go, we think it's something to do with Scarlet Witch, that she's narrating that first trailer. But yeah, I think it's definitely nailed on to be something Avengers project related.
I did forget that thing, speaking of Mr. Interhart, the creative director on Spider-Man. He was saying that their first initial conversations with Marvel when they were doing their Spider-Man game was, they said to think of it as Iron Man.
Yes.
And it was, if we can get Spider-Man right, then all these other things will follow. So assumedly, they are gearing up for a shared universe, and it would make sense to get the Russos, helmers of said universe at the minute, to announce it.
Yeah, it definitely is good. I think it in the wake of what seems to be a massive period for Marvel in the next 2 weeks, we've got the Captain Marvel trailer tonight or tomorrow, depending on when this is out. Then you've got the Avengers 4 trailer on Wednesday, and then apparently we're getting a Spider-Man Far From Home look in the next few weeks as well. So, like, the next few weeks are going to be... It helped takes the pain away of Daredevil getting cancelled.
True.
Slightly.
I wonder how much all the Marvel PR book crunchers are aware that Star Wars isn't so much a Christmas thing anymore, and they can just sort of go, here's all the superheroes.
That's their own doing.
Yeah, totally is. And they can be like, hey, we've got all the superheroes to make you feel all nice instead. So I guess we'll wait and see. Rich, did you have a chance to play the old Marvel Ultimate Alliance?
No, I didn't.
This should be a perfect time for you to leap in.
Yeah,
I'd be cool with
the
that.
The X-Men Legends games, like, were really, really fun. And then they like spun them off into that. It was really fun. I wouldn't be that excited about them doing that again in just the fancy graphics, because I've been there and played that, you know.
I know. So, I think if they're going to do the multiple playable characters thing, I want them to do a proper Iron Man. Like, because the Iron Man game was obviously not
very
good.
The Sega one.
No, the movie tie-in.
Yeah, the Sega one.
Yeah. Those movie tie-in ones at least nailed the flying mechanics, or at least they were quite... Well, it's a good idea to just take off from the ground, fly around, land in some combat. And I like that you could redirect his power to different parts of the suit like better combos.
There was that cancelled Avengers game from a few years back.
The motion control.
It was a first person, so you could play
the Kinect one.
Yeah, it's interesting because they obviously they have so much scope to do well, and with Square Enix they have so many developers at their disposal to do some really good games. So that, hopefully this is Warner Brothers should be concerned. That's all I'm saying.
I hope it's something meaningful and not just because that first person one was pretty much like someone had those Hulk foam fists and went, "What if this was a game?" Punched in
Hulk
first person.
Hulk hands
all the way.
I mean,
not,
I would play that.
Not for sixty pounds though. But whatever. Let us know what you think of all these different awards and rumors and leaks and ting down in the comments, or you can find us on social media. This has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tailford, joined by Ewan.
Hello and bye.
Joined by Rich.
See you later.
And goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.